Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather here in your house. We ask now that you bless this time and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin by thanking you. For those of you who were born and raised in this church or who have been here many years, you don't really know how good you have it. I recently sat down and was working on, along with some other people, our MSP, which is Ministry Site Profile. That's the paperwork that will go out to all the people who are looking to take Deacon Deborah's position. Okay? And in it, they have a little comment section. And so I was like, I've got comments to make. And so here's basically what I said. I said that this was an extremely healthy church. It's the way that you love each other and support each other is absolutely wonderful. But also the way that you love and support your staff is incredible. And I really appreciate that. It is a joy to not only work for you, but also work with you. Honestly, I've been pretty fortunate over the last 23 and a half years in the four congregations that I've served. They've all been really healthy places. In fact, the last place I served, the interim that came after me, she specializes in conflict-ridden congregations. And after 3 months, she left because she said, this place is boring. It's the healthiest church I've ever been to. And so that's where I had come from. But now, that's not to say there weren't hiccups along the way. Now, way back in my first church, in 2005, 2006, it was a very difficult year. From about the summer of, the end of the summer in 05 to the middle of the summer in 06, it was really tough for me and for my family. Now, granted, we did have a kid along the way, so that was a bright spot, but the rest of it, it was tough. My wife and I, we lost three grandparents between us in the course of 9 months. One every 3 months. But honestly, that wasn't the worst part. During that time, I had a church member in this tiny little church that was upset with me. And when I say upset, I mean absolutely irate with me. Do you know why? Me either. There were a lot of reasons that she gave in the many, many, many times that she would yell at me. And no one else knew why either. I mean, they knew she was mad because, for one, she would tell them. And for two, they would hear her yelling at me on consecutive Sunday after Sunday after Sunday morning. But it was the things that I was yelled at were different. You know, it's not like I'm perfect. It's not like I don't deserve to be yelled at. Ask any of my teachers, my kids, my wife, my parents. I get yelled at. But this was a bit different. One time, like I said, my wife was pregnant at the time. Well, something happened, and she needed to go get checked out by a doctor immediately. And so coworkers took her car and followed her to the church where we met, and took her car to the doctor, leaving my car at the church. Well, apparently, this wasn't what was going on. It was just an evil ploy for me to leave my car behind to appear that I was working. Who knew? I accidentally took two Sundays off in a row, one because it was vacation, and then Stacy's grandfather died, and so it ended up being two Sundays in a row. So that was my fault, I guess. But then there was the one time that we named our child Mary Margaret. She yelled at me for this because apparently her name's too long and she'll never be able to spell it. Don't worry, folks. She's going to graduate from high school this year, and she did figure it out. And then, you know, I mean, it got to the level that I had to talk with the Senate office, and they instructed me if she ever encountered me at the church alone, because there was no staff at this tiny little church, I needed to leave. And so when I was leaving, she was literally pounding on my car as I was pulling out of the parking lot. It got so bad that they changed all of the doors on the church. They removed the key from the windowsill of where it had been for 100 years and changed the lock on my office. It was bad. I was physically ill every Sunday morning for 6 months. And to make matters worse, this woman had been my right hand. She was an amazing person. You know, she did everything for the church. And all of a sudden, for some unknown reason, she was mad. Honestly, looking back, I think she may have been mentally ill, but it was painful, very painful, to think that somebody would treat somebody else like that, but especially at church. Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. I mean, like, okay, I'm a pastor, and that happens. I mean, honestly, I've heard a lot worse than this. You know, I've got colleagues that have had death threats. Some of them live in parsonages, and people would just show up, not at their house, but in their house. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure my wife would be thrilled if someone just came in the house with using a key. You know, and whole groups of people turning their back on the pastor. I mean, look, we aren't perfect. I mean, I'm far from perfect. And we do make people mad from time to time. And that's understandable. But to treat anybody like that, especially in the church, can you imagine? Some of you can. Because it does happen, especially in a church. There are a huge growing number of Christians right now that are joining the denomination of none. This is a rapidly growing trend in America because the nuns have not like nuns with the habit, but like N-O-N-E-S, they've given up on church because church has hurt them so badly. It's not that they've given up or turned their back on Jesus, it's that they feel that the church has turned their back on them. Because let's be honest, churches can be painful, painful places. And there's a lot of folks, maybe some of you, who have been hurt very badly by church people. You know, people who have been judged for one thing or another. You know, the sins that they certainly don't commit, right? Because here's the sins over here, and then there are those sins. And if anybody crosses that line, well, they don't belong in a place like a church. You know, there are people in the LGBTQ community who have been not just kicked out, but ostracized and humiliated and kicked out. People who have made mistakes along the way. People who have gotten divorced. People who have gotten pregnant. People who smoke outside, people who have worn clothes that aren't church appropriate. All kinds of things have gone on. Some folks are overly involved. You know, they do too much in the church. Nobody ever complains about the people that don't do enough, but you know, that lady, she does too much. And eventually word gets around, and feelings get hurt, and people leave. Especially in a church. I mean, you wouldn't think that that's the kind of thing that belongs there, right? Well, did you hear our gospel reading? Jesus and his newly called disciples, we heard about that last week, the Sabbath rolls around, and what does the Messiah do on the Sabbath? Well, he goes to church, right? He goes to the synagogue, and he teaches, not like the scribes, but he taught as one with authority, and they were amazed by what he was saying. But then, someone with the unclean spirit said, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, there's something interesting about that passage. What's a demon doing at church? Do you ever wonder about that? I mean, like, there are demons that we hear about Jesus casting out throughout Scripture, right? There's, like, one in the caves and the catacombs and graveyards and in a field, you know, right, where the pigs ran off. But this one is at church. This demon was right there. And what he says to us, in essence, is, "Don't mess with me, Jesus. Don't mess up the good thing we have going. We know who you are." It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Here in Mark's gospel, the very first one to profess Jesus as anything other than just anybody is a possessed demonic man. at church. And what's the problem? What's going on here? In my opinion, Jesus is saying something that he doesn't like. Jesus is saying something that isn't what he's always believed. Jesus is saying something that challenges his systems, that challenges his way of life. That's why he says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus? Why are you messing with us, Jesus? Have you come here to destroy us?" But I mean, we don't have demons in churches now, right? Because we hear the word of God and we're like, yes, that's exactly what we want to hear. Jesus said it, I believe it, that's all there is to it. You know, there was a pastor I heard about recently, and he decided to do a little experiment. So what he did was, he read the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's Gospel. You know, it's where Jesus stands up on a mountaintop and preaches. But he took the word Jesus out of it. And so he sort of made it like this was just his sermon. And after the service, he said he was shocked at how many people came up to him deriding him for all those political things that he said. And how could he be this liberal fool saying things like that? Turns out it wasn't his words, it was Jesus' words. But see, we have a bit of an issue in this country. I don't know if you've realized it yet, but we've become very political about everything. And we are digging our heels in with what we believe because our politicians tell us that this is what we're supposed to believe, to the point that maybe it's a demon inside of us too. And I'm not saying it's one side or the other side, but what I'm saying is we tend to be listening to the outside voices and believing those outside voices a lot more than what we're hearing in here. And then the problem is, when we hear the gospel proclaimed, when we hear what Jesus actually has to say, we reject it. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you coming here to destroy us? We hear things out of the mouth of our Lord that doesn't agree with our ideologies, that doesn't agree with our opinions, that doesn't agree with our way of life. And so what? We fight against it. We stand up and we say, no, not that. Somebody's going from preaching to meddling. So my friends, I think it's time we need to pay attention to who it is that we're listening to who it is that we're following. And in order to do that, we've got to pull out those books that we have in our home. You know, the dusty one, we call it a Bible. And if you don't have one, let me know. We'll give you one, okay? Just take the one out of your pew, all right? But read it. Actually read the Bible. Start with the Gospels. Don't start at the beginning because, you know, it seems so long and daunting. Start at the Gospels. Read what Jesus actually has to say. And go at it with an open heart and an open mind. And when you do, you'll end up with open hands. But you can't stop there because the Bible isn't the easiest of all things to understand. You've got to learn about it. You know, come to a Bible study. Come to Sunday school. Keep coming to church. I mean, the reality is the more we learn, it's okay for us to be challenged. We're not going to agree with everything when we first hear it. I mean, that's just the reality. But it's also helpful to hear from our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to know exactly what it's all about. Because here's the thing, we can make the Bible say almost whatever we want it to say. But here's the rule of thumb. If it doesn't promote love, grace, and mercy, then it's words in the Bible, not the Word of God. Because the Word of God always proclaims love, grace, and mercy. And as followers of Jesus Christ, that is what we are called to proclaim. It doesn't matter what people wear. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they say. Jesus loves them. Jesus forgives them. Jesus saves them. And that is our message to the world. There aren't insiders and outsiders in the church. We are all welcome to God's table. every single one of us, no matter how we look, no matter how we talk, no matter how we act. We are all welcome because that's the God that we have. And yes, this may not agree with everything that we believe or cast a ballot for. It may not agree with everything Mama told us when we were kids. But you know what? We have a choice. Are we going to follow a politician? Are we going to follow Mama? Or are we going to follow Jesus? That's the choice that you and I all have to make. First, we have to know what Jesus said. And then we have to decide whether or not we're going to actually believe it and follow it. Friends, the church has gotten a black eye over the last many years. And we're the ones that gave it. We're not only the ones with the black eye, we're the ones who gave us the black eye. But here's the reality. It's time for a new day and a new church with an old message. God loves you. God accepts you. God forgives you. And Jesus saves you. That is the message you and I are called to proclaim. That is the message of Jesus. Amen.